right. Thank you, Brad. And we are going to spend one more week outside of Acts before we return to the series there. One more week. Joshua chapter 24. I had the privilege of preaching on this chapter of Scripture at a family camp up at Cedar Mountain Retreat about 4.5 years ago now. And it's a wonderful passage of encouragement and really renewal. Now, last week, for those of you that were here, we got beat up a little bit, okay? This week, I think, is going to be a little bit more of an encouragement to you. Not that last week wasn't, right? It was encouraging. It was painful to hear. And there may be a little pain involved here this morning. I don't know. But it's a good passage to start a new year with. And that's why we're here this morning. It was the 1980 Winter Games, Winter Olympics. Team USA, their hockey team, appeared to be just a mediocre team. They had an exhibition game against Norway, which ended in a tie. They had an exhibition game before the actual tournament with the Russians, in which the U.S. team was literally clobbered 10-3. And they entered the Olympic tournament as some would say underdogs, but really nobody had any expectations for them, okay? They entered not being medalist hopefuls at all. But their coach, Herb Brooks, inspired them. As the tournament began, he inspired them to a 2-2 tie against Sweden, which then was followed up by an actual 7-3 victory against the heavily favored Czechoslovakian team. And then on to victories even over Romania and West Germany, and all of a sudden, they were medal contenders. They were in third place. They had a bronze medal already. And they went from nobodies to medalists. But now they face that same team once again, the Russian team that so destroyed them in the exhibition games before the tournament. And Coach Brooks gave his team a speech just before the game. And as part of that speech, he told them this. He told them, "You were meant to be here tonight. This is your time." And basically what he's saying is everything that has culminated so far has led to this moment right here. This is your time, he told them. And I want you to know this morning that whoever you are and wherever you have come from, everything that you've done has led to this moment, right here and right now. This right here is your time. It is your time. And I believe that God has a message for you this morning from Joshua chapter 24. Well, at the end of the first period, as they took on the Russians, the score was tied 2-2. Early in the second period, the Russians scored a third time, and they held that score the remainder of the period. The final period of the game began with a score of 3-2 in favor of the Russians. And then Coach Brooks once again reminded his team, he said, "You know, we have come from behind in every single game of this tournament, and we can do it again. This is your time. This is your time." Well, Team USA rallied, and they scored early on in that fourth period to tie the game. And then about midway through the period, they scored again and took the lead and held it. And now all of a sudden, here they are, nobodies with a silver medal. They went on then to challenge and beat Finland for the gold medal that Olympic year. They obtained and maintained Olympic conquest in that tournament. But have you ever wondered? Have you ever wondered what it takes to obtain and maintain spiritual conquest? spiritual conquest in our lives. The final chapter of Joshua, we find Joshua basically with a deathbed or final period speech for the Israelites. And he's going to give them really a strategy here for spiritual conquest. And in our passage, you and I, we are going to see some of those steps that are needed to help us not only obtain spiritual conquest in our lives, but to maintain spiritual conquest in our lives. And really, that simply means a walk with the Lord. A walk with the Lord. And I want you to understand right off the bat that I am not speaking to you. I needed to hear what we find here as much as anybody. I am speaking to you from what the Word of God says on this matter. Again, I've had the privilege to preach on this chapter before. So those of you that were at family camp, I'm using about the same outline and some of the same illustrations. But anyway, a strategy for spiritual conquest from Joshua chapter 24. And the first step that we find here in our passage is to review the past. Review the past. Why review? Well, we need to know exactly how we got to where we are right now. Whether it be good or bad, what put us where we are right now? For many years of my life, in fact, most of my adult life, I had a 30-inch waist. And up until a few months ago, I had been all the way up to about a 34 to 36, depending upon how low I wore my pants, okay? But I want you to know that a 36-inch waist was not something I accomplished overnight. I had to work at it for years. First, I had to virtually give up all activity. And for those of you taking notes, that wasn't enough. I had to sit at a desk and type on a computer and drink coffee. And then something else you might want, if you're taking notes, is I had to eat cookies and sweets as I did it. And from dinner till 10 o'clock at night, I call that grazing time. All right. Anyway, that's what it takes to get to a 36-inch waist. And I knew that if I got complacent in that, I might accidentally slip back down to a 30-inch waist. Now, I hope you know that I'm not seriously pleased with my weight gain, and I actually have lost some weight over the past few months. But the point I'm trying to make here is there is always a reason that we are where we are. Whether we are wanting to change that, whether we are wanting to improve that, whether we are wanting to maintain that, we need to review how we got there. For the Israelites, here in chapter 24, they were currently in the promised land, and God wanted them to review how they got there. Let's read verses 1 and 2. It says, "Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods.'" Now, through Joshua, God reviewed their past practices. Okay, that's the first thing he reviewed. And it may appear that he's talking about their fathers here, but we're going to find out in a few minutes that these generations that were now taking the promised land were doing the same thing. They were serving other gods as well. But anyway, God reviewed their past practices. And he reminded Israel of the practices of their fathers. Verse 2 says, and they served other gods. Really, they were pagans. Just plain and simple, they were pagans. Before God called Abraham and set him apart as his own, he and his fathers served other gods. And I want to make a bold statement to you this morning to bring this home so that we might review our past practices. Are you ready? Here it comes. In a way, in a very real way, every single person in this room this morning, at one time or other, served other gods. We were pagans. We were pagans. Perhaps we still are. James 4:4 says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? When we were not or are not serving the true and living God, we were or are serving false gods by default. That's paganism. If we do not have spiritual conquest in our life right now, perhaps we should check and see, whom am I serving? For whom am I doing what I do? God reviewed and reminded Israel of their pagan practices. Secondly, God reviewed the promise that he made. Verses 3 and 4. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants, and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. And here's what's happening here. It was God that called Abraham and gave him the promise of a great name, a great nation, and a land for his descendants. The very land that Israel was now taking possession of. And even though God himself sent Jacob and his family down to Egypt for a time, he confirmed the fact that this promised land, this land, would belong to Abraham's descendants one day. Okay? And when they would return. So God reviewed their past practices. He reviewed the promises that he made. And then thirdly, God reviewed the power that Israel had witnessed. I'm going to read down through verses 5 through 12. You can try to follow me if you want. I'm going to skim them, only hitting certain items. It might be better if you just listen. But here, listen to what these verses say. It says, also, I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt. Afterward, I brought you out. Verse 6, then I brought your fathers out of Egypt. Verse 7, so they cried to the Lord. The end of verse 7, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Verse 8, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites. The end of verse 8, but I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Verse 10, but I would not listen to Balaam, so I delivered you out of his hand. Verse 11, the end of verse 11, but I delivered them, speaking of all the nations in that land, I delivered them into your hand. Verse 12, I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out. And my point here is God did it all. It was God that did it. He reviewed the power that Israel had witnessed. They saw all of this. He blessed them. His power was the reason for their success. Therefore, fourthly, God reviewed that the promise was now fulfilled. Listen to verse 13. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them, and eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. God fulfilled his promises. Israel was now taking possession of the land that God had promised to them. He reviewed with them their pagan past, his power and his promises, and spiritual conquest. It requires that we review how we got to where we are right now. Three things in application here, real quick, to this first point. First of all, God calls us out of paganism. He calls us out of our pagan past. You and I, we are sinners. The price for that sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. And there is nothing that you and I can do within our own power to rectify that, to change that. Okay? But God calls us from that. He's wanting us to respond. Secondly, it is God's power that brings us through. Just like it was God's power that brought Israel to the promised land, it is God's power that saves us. God gave His own Son to die on the cross for our sins. He took the punishment that we deserve. And once we trust in Him, He is the one who sustains us through all our trials. He is the one who gives all blessings. It is God's power that brings us through. And then thirdly, when God makes a promise, He keeps it. When He makes a promise, He keeps it. It is no coincidence that the very place where Israel is standing right now in our passage and listening and reviewing the past, it is no coincidence that that is the exact same place that God made that promise to Abraham. Shechem. You've heard the song, Standing on the Promises of God. Well, these are literally and physically standing right now on the promises of God. And Jesus in John 6:47 says, here's another promise for those who believe. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Wow, that's a big promise. That's a big promise. Reviewing our past and God's power and promises is a step in our lives towards spiritual conquest. The second step this morning towards spiritual conquest is to rally the troops. Sometimes that might just be us and our thoughts, okay? Rally the troops. The simple definition of the term rally is to come together for a common action or effort. And that might be right within us. I don't know, all right? But rally the troops. It's a team effort. Some of you have heard this story before. I love to share this story. It's a good one. It's about 8 years ago now. We were up at camp. My brother Darren and I were challenged to a basketball game by a couple of guys. And as we began to play, Darren and I immediately noticed that our opponents were not working together as a team. It was obvious that they were better players than us, but they were not working together as a team. In fact, they were both very self-involved, trying to do fancy moves and the whole bit. They weren't passing the ball to one another. It even got to one point in the game where they were fighting each other for the ball. All right? But we noticed that, and they were serving their own interests. They had zero team commitment. And I don't remember the final score of that game. But as a result of their actions, Darren and I, we rallied. And we started working well together as a team, and we destroyed them. I mean, we literally crushed those two 12-year-olds. They learned their lesson, I'll tell you. Verse 14 begins Joshua's final period inspirational speech to rally and unify Israel, to help them understand that if they are not serving God's team, okay, they will fail. And he rallies them in three ways. First, through conviction. Listen to verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And here we find that they'd continue doing it. They were serving those other gods as well. And Joshua tells them, put them away. put them away. He convicts them. The Israelites were a wishy-washy bunch of people. Just like you and I. Just like you and I. It didn't take much for them to leave the true and living God and serve false gods. As Moses went up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, the Israelites were down, oh, I guess he's not coming back. Let's make a golden calf and worship it. Which with every city and nation that they attempted to conquer, okay, as they went in there, they would assimilate those nations' practices into what they were doing. That's all right. That's okay. But they would assimilate those other cities and their pagan practices into what they were doing. And Joshua calls them on it here. He convicts them. He says, "Fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away those gods that your father served." He rallied them through conviction. He also rallied them through a choice. Verse 15 says this. It says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, that term, if it seems evil to you, in fact, Brad, as he read it earlier, read just a little bit different. But it's just a way of saying that God is not going to force you to worship Him. He's not going to force you to do that. It is your choice. And Joshua is not suggesting that these false gods are even worthy of worship. He's saying that if you are not serving Jehovah, you are serving false gods. So you choose. Choose this day. Who are you going to serve? And then he makes this statement. "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And he's saying, regardless of what you guys choose this day, regardless of what you decide, I want you to know that me and my family, we're going to serve the true and living God. We want to be on God's team. Verses 16 through 18 give us the people's response as they give all the reasons that they do choose to serve the Lord. And then in verses 19 and 20, Joshua makes a sobering statement designed to wake them up and bring them to a true and sincere commitment. He rallied them through commitment. Verses 19 and 20. "But Joshua said to the people, 'You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God, and He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods. Then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He has done you good.'" God is a God of promise. And the land that He promised to the Israelites will always be their land. But Joshua here helps them to understand that they will only inhabit that land peacefully upon their obedience to Him. He will discipline them and chasten them if they serve other gods. So Israel now confirms their commitment through three statements. In verse 21, they say, "We will serve the Lord." In verse 22, "We are witnesses to this." And in verse 24, "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey." We need to allow God to convict us of our shortcomings and deliberately choose that from this time forward, I will serve God in all that I do. I will put Him first in my family, in my neighborhood, at my job, at my business, at my school, at the store, and yes, even in traffic when somebody cuts me off, I will put God first. I will put Him first. Those around me will know that I live to please God. Joshua brought Israel through these steps of spiritual conquest by reviewing their past, rallying the troops, and then the final step this morning is to renew the commitment. Renew the commitment. Listen to verses 25 through 27. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God." Joshua put in writing the promises that God renewed to Israel that day, and we just read them in chapter 24. We just read them. He also erected a monument that would remind them of not only the pledge that they made to God, but most importantly, the promises that God made to them. Every time they would read these words or look upon that monument, it would remind them that they serve a God of promise. That they serve a God of promise. And the Lord's promise to them is theirs. It's theirs. And they could be renewed. It was approximately the year AD 33. A man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth was accused of crimes that he did not commit. He was brought to trial and sentenced to death by hanging on a cross. What his accusers didn't know was that this was the very purpose for which he was sent. This was God's perfect will. God sent his own Son to remedy man's hopeless condition of sinful imperfection. He gave his only Son to live that perfect, sinless life and then die on the cross to take the punishment for sin that we deserved, thus making salvation available to all. And all that is left for us to do is trust in the fact of who Jesus is and what he has already done for us in taking that penalty. And today, we have, in writing, recorded that very event, those very words. And we keep a monument to remind us of God's promise to us. Now we don't worship this monument. We don't bow down to this monument, but we can be renewed in our spiritual conquest by reading God's Word, yielding to His Spirit as we read it, and looking to the cross, keeping our focus on the cross, being renewed, being reminded of God's love for us and His promise to us. Joshua, in the final days of his life on earth, helped Israel to review their past, rally in their service to God, and renew their devotion to Him. These are the steps needed to both obtain spiritual conquest and maintain spiritual conquest. And if you have never obtained spiritual conquest, here is some encouragement for you. Just going through these steps, review your pagan past. Romans 6:3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Every person is disqualified from the presence of God because sin cannot reside with perfection. But Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. And in Romans 6:23, it says that the wages of sin is death, but because Christ died for us, the gift of God is now eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Review your pagan past. Rally unto God's team. God is rallying us to His team through the gift of His Son. Today, and I love what Hugh said earlier, he said, we don't know how long we have. Today might be the very first opportunity you have ever had to have the penalty for your sins taken away, forgiven. Or it might be your last. It might be your last opportunity today. Tomorrow may be too late. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So review your pagan past, rally unto God's team, and be renewed. And we can be renewed by simply trusting in what Jesus Christ has already done for us. It's a free gift. We only need accept it. Believe that Jesus Christ paid in full for your sins, and the gift is yours. And if you have never done that before, I pray that you wouldn't leave this morning without having done that. And you can do that right in the privacy of your own heart right now by simply acknowledging to God, Lord, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I understand that now. And this morning, I accept the free gift that your Son is offering me. Thank you, God, for paying in full for my sins. Once that account is settled, your sins are no longer on you. Our sins are no longer upon us. Does that mean we will never sin again? No, of course not. It means that our sins will no longer count against us in the scheme of eternity, because the price has already been paid in full. God will not break His promise to us. Heaven is ours, but continued sin in our life can cause, as with the Israelites, chastening, discipline. How do we maintain spiritual conquest in our lives? How do we live that life that pleases God? Review, rally, renew. After suffering a marked drop in sales, Alka-Seltzer began doing a little research of their own product, and they realized that it wasn't doing what they initially intended it to do, and they decided a stronger dose would take care of it. So they started selling them in packets of two. It used to be you only took one Alka-Seltzer, and hence their new slogan, plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is, okay? Sales doubled. Here's another one. Shampoo company. On their directions, they had simply lather and rinse. They're suffering sales, so they added one word to the directions. Lather, rinse, repeat. Sales went through the roof, and you're probably wondering, why am I telling you this? Well, I have a pitch for you of my own this morning. Here it is. Review, rally, renew. Regardless of where you are right now, you can review your past. You can review your past. You can rally unto God's team and be renewed. Review where you came from. Don't forget the depths to which God reached down to save you. Review and don't forget how God has faithfully brought you through the trials of the past. How He may have brought you right here today for this time. Choose this day whom you will serve. Put yourself on God's team. Yield to His Spirit. Read God's Word daily, so that we may be reminded of His promises to us. Look to the cross. Don't see it as a mere church ornament, but a monument erected to remind us of His love for us. Review, rally, renew. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for this chapter that has been added to the scripture, showing us how Joshua, through God, God through Joshua, led these Israelites here today through their past so that they might rally unto God's team and renew their devotion to him. And Lord, I pray that that would be something that would take place in our lives as well. Lord, as we are perhaps we have never trusted in Christ, Lord, that we would do that this morning. Perhaps we are one of your children, and we've been walking along, and we tripped into sin. We fell down. Lord, we can yet review our past, rally once again unto your team, and be renewed. And Lord, we do thank you for that this morning. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.